We are studying a love story in the Bible. It's the book of Ruth. Ruth is a love story. And Boaz is the hero in the book. And Boaz's love for Ruth is like God's love for the world. So God wrote the book of Ruth, and he's getting the world ready for the Lord Jesus. But today, we already know about God's love. We know about the Lord Jesus. It's not hard. It's not hard to know that God paid for your sins, and he offers you a free gift of eternal life. Every chapter, and there's four chapters, teach another lesson about God's love. We are in chapter one. Today we're going to finish chapter one. And the key thought in chapter one is sin and turning. Sin and turning. Chapter two is grace abounding. Chapter three is faith exercised. And chapter four is salvation purchased. That's coming soon. But we need to remember, we need to review a little bit about chapter one before we finish the chapter. In chapter one, Elimelech and his family had a sin problem. And Elimelech, the father, sinned. And he brought death into his family. Well, how did Elimelech sin? What did he do? Did he beat his wife? Did he drink? No, he didn't. He wasn't a drunk. He didn't beat his wife. He simply took the family out of Israel. This is the nation of Israel. And it's on the west side of this river. What's that river? Jordan River, the west side. He took his family out of Israel into the country. What's the country? Moab. And so he took his family away from the protection of God. He took them away from the God of Israel. And he took them under the protection of Moab and the gods of Moab. And that was a sin. Because he left the place where God wanted him to be. And so Elimelech, that's his name, the father sinned and brought death into his family. Because who died first? Do you remember who in the family died first? Elimelech, right? The father died first. And the Bible tells us we are in a family, and the father of our family died first. Who's the father of our family? Adam. Yes, Adam. Well, Eve's a mom. So, therefore, just as through one man, our father Adam, sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so you can see this book is about God's love, but it's also about my problem. I need God's love because of sin. My family was brought into death by Adam, but then Elimelech had two sons. The names of those two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and those boys sinned and caused their own death. So Elimelech sinned, and he caused his family to have death, but Mahlon and Chilion sinned all by themselves. And the Bible tells us that you and me, we have sinned by ourselves. I am guilty, and I am responsible. Are you guilty? Are you responsible for your sin? That's what the Bible teaches. And before you can be saved from your sin, you have to admit You're guilty. You're responsible. And so we are sinners by birth because of Adam, and we're sinners by behavior because, let's read this Bible verse together. It's right from the word for. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So that's a review. They had a sin problem. We have a sin problem. And we are sinners by birth. And the consequence or the result of Adam's sin is death and separation. I love this verse. From 1 Corinthians 15, it says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So you and I do not need better behavior to be saved. We need a better family. We need a better birth. And God is offering, if you trust Jesus as your Savior, God is offering to take you out of the Adam family and make you born in the Christ family. And if you're born in Christ, it says all will be made alive. If you stay in Adam, all are going to do what?
Die.
Well, where do you want to be? You want to be in Adam or you want to be in Christ? You know, you did not choose your mom and your dad. You did not choose your first birth. But you have a choice now with your second birth. This is your choice. God has done everything except choose Jesus for you. And so the consequence of our sin is death and separation. God loves you in Jesus, and he wants to give you the gift of eternal life. So this is a love story. And so I have to say, just like a wedding, will you receive this man to be your Savior? Did that sound like a wedding? Will you have this man to be your husband? But here God is saying, will you have this man to be your Savior? What is your answer? All right. That's a review of what we know. And the answer to sin in this chapter is turning. And so Naomi, we have two women, or three right now who are going back. We have the mom, and her name's Naomi. And then we have the daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. And so it's easy for Naomi because, let's just go back here. Naomi, when she turns back, she's going back to her own country, isn't she? She's leaving a country that's not her own because she's a child of Israel. She was born in Israel. So Naomi's returning to Bethlehem. She's returning to her own citizenship. She's returning to her own country. She's returning to the land of her birth. And so for her, taking care of her sin is different. God promised continued forgiveness to returning citizens. Naomi, the Jewish citizen, was turning back to what was hers. And the Lord was her God, and Israel was her country of citizenship. That may be difficult, but there's a parallel today. Is Jesus your Savior now? Do you know you have eternal life? Have you received Jesus to be your Savior? If so, number one, your eternal penalty for sin is already paid. It's taken care of, right? The punishment for your sin is complete. But what about the sins I do every day? The time I lie. The time I, whatever I did. You don't have to have a guilty mind or a guilty conscience because God promises citizens, he promises his children, continued forgiveness. So Naomi had a promise for Jewish citizens. But if Jesus is your Savior, you become a citizen, not of Israel, you become a citizen of heaven. And so that's very important. We have continued forgiveness promised to us. And here it is. Look at this verse. For our citizenship is where, everyone? In heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Philippians 3:20. And so for the children of God, whose citizenship is in heaven, if we, children of God, confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't this great? The eternal penalty, the eternal punishment for sin is taken care of, and God promises to keep cleaning your mind, keep cleaning your conscience. So after you're saved, God keeps forgiving you of sin. This is a fantastic, fantastic promise. And that's for citizens. So Naomi is a picture of you as a citizen of heaven. All right? But big question here, and this is really important. What about Ruth and Orpah, the two daughters-in-law? Where were they born? They were born in Moab. They were born across the river. They weren't born citizens of Israel. And they're Gentiles. You know what a Gentile is? Anyone who's not Jewish. All right? Anyone who's not Jewish. So what about Ruth and Orpah? Was there any hope for non-citizens? You know, I was not born Jewish. Is there any hope for me? Can I have forgiveness? God made the first Jewish man fantastic promises. He promised to be Abraham's God. He promised to give Abraham an eternal land. He promised to give Abraham children. Has God promised anything to non-citizens? So, God tells us something. Now, this is the New Testament, and He's talking to you and me. This is not a picture anymore. This is us. Remember, Paul says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. How did you begin life? Well, you began, and I began separate from Christ. And we were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. That means we were not a part of the nation of Israel. You've got no citizen in Israel. That's not something we had as Gentiles. We were strangers to the covenants of promise. A covenant is a written promise. And God made Abraham and Isaac and Jacob written promises. He didn't make them to me. And He didn't make them to you unless you're Jewish. Then those are your promises. So what's my problem is, it says having no hope and without God in the world. That is so sad. When you and I came into the world without the Lord Jesus, without being born with Abraham's promises, we had no hope. And we were without God in the world. The two girls, the two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, they grew up worshiping many gods. They didn't know the true God. So they were without God in the world. When I was born, I didn't have God at birth. I was born separated from God. And each person here, we were born separated from the Lord. Now, if that continues my whole life, then I'll die separated from God. And that would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Because if I'm dying separated from God, then I'm eternally separated from God. So what about Ruth and Orpah? It does not look good for Ruth and Orpah. But through Ruth, God is going to show His love for the world beyond Israel. So Ruth is going to be the door that these two girls are offered life and hope. And so this is a picture again of God's love for the world beyond the Jewish nation. And so the funny thing is Moab is so close and yet it's so far from the land of Israel. And you know, these girls were so close to the promises of God, but they were so far from God. They were without God and without hope in the world. Here's an actual picture. Looking from Moab over west into Israel. And here's what we can see. It's less than 8 miles back to Bethlehem. From the place that Moses died in Moab, when he looked over at the promised land, he might be able to see Bethlehem. Just that close. And yet separated by sin and unable to enter into the promises of God. Someday, I hope to go to Israel, but this would be, what's the country across the river? Jordan. I think this would be Jordan looking. Today, Jordan would be looking over to Israel. And we have to learn something before we go on. Will you be patient with me? For us to understand the rest of this chapter, we have to understand three things that do not save. And then the chapter is going to be easy. I'm going to teach you three things that the Bible says do not save you from your sin. This is very important for you to learn. So, the Bible says there are three ways that seem so close to saving. It's like here's Moab, and you're looking over there, and you're so close. But they are so far from God's salvation. Proverbs says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Isn't that crazy? People die and go to hell, not from doing wrong, but from thinking they're doing right. Wouldn't that be terrible if your whole life you thought you were doing right? But you died because it only seemed right and it was not right? That would be a terrible, terrible loss. So this is what we're going to look at is from the New Testament, where God is explaining this a little more clearly. God's salvation, here's the three things. It's not of blood. And we'll explain this. Number two, it's not of the will of the flesh, and we'll explain this, and it's not of the will of man. So there's three ways that seem right, but they don't save, and they're so close. And here's the whole verse now. This is about the Lord Jesus, and it says, He, Jesus, came to His own. That means when God became a man, Jesus came into His own world, and He came to His own people. And how did His own people respond? So it says, and those who were His own people, they did not receive Him. In fact, what did they do? They sent Him to the cross. That's the opposite of receiving Him, right? Man, they were close. Jesus was right there. And they did not receive Him. But then, there's a big but here. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And so God is saying, there is a way to change families. There is a way to leave Adam's family and become a child of God and be in Christ's family. So to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. And says, who were born, I'm going to go to the end here, who were born of God. But in the middle, it's not born this way, not born this way, not born this way. So before God can tell you how you are born, He tells you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this.
And so here's the three don'ts, the three things that don't say. Not of blood means it's not your parents or your family. You know, you got blood from your family. You've got your mother brought you into the world, and you have blood from your family going through your veins, and that's your family blood. And if your mom is a Christian, does that make you a Christian? God is saying, no. God doesn't have any grandchildren. That means just because your mother or your father is a Christian, that doesn't make you a Christian. When I was a baby, the priest took me to the back, and there was a big bowl of water. And he scooped that water out and splashed it on my face and says, now you're a child of God. Did that ceremony make me a child of God? No, a church ceremony, a Christian parent cannot make you a child of God. A church ceremony cannot make you a child of God. And so that is not number three. So Christian parents, I skipped ahead. Nor of the will of the flesh is your good works. Your flesh is all your strength and ability. Can you, by saying, I will not sin, I will not sin, I will not sin, can you make yourself holy enough to get to heaven? No, because here you should be saying this, what about my sin? What about my sin? Because you have sinned. If you could stop, if you were strong enough in your flesh and your abilities to stop sinning today, and never sin until the day you die, would you be holy enough to go to heaven? No, because you still have unpaid sin in the past. And so God says, please remember this. Salvation is not because you have Christian parents or family. It's not because you do good works. It's not the will of your own strength, your own flesh, your own nature. And it's also not by the will of man. That's someone from the outside making you saved. And so, others do not, the church doesn't make you saved. When I was a baby, the church did not make me saved. I grew up. Later in my life, I had to receive Jesus. You understand that? You are not making a baby saved when you baptize your baby. That baby has to grow up and trust Jesus, or that baby is going to go to the lake of fire. Being saved is not by Christian parents. It's not by good works. It's not by help from others or the church. But it's by believing in his name. So the new birth is, next page here, this makes it easy then. Get rid of all this not stuff. I don't want to know how I'm not saved. Don't you want to know how you are saved? And so here he says, who believe in his name, who were born, dot, 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 what? Of God. So what is the new birth? What is salvation? It's being born from God. I have to be saved from the outside, and that has to be God who saves me. I have to trust the Lord to do what I cannot do. Does that make sense? I have to trust the Lord to do what I cannot do. And that is pay for my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. And then my birth is from God. So while we're here, let's just ask a big question. Are you trusting in your family to get you to heaven? My advice? Stop. Are you trusting in that you do a lot of good things to get you to heaven? Stop. Are you trusting in your church or someone else's word to get you to heaven? Stop. Trust and receive the Lord Jesus as the payment for your sin.
and you will be born of God. So stop, 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 and do. All right, do that. So, now big question, and back in our book, now we can understand the rest of the chapter. It's all downhill from here. I hope that idiom translates. It's all downhill from here. It's easy. Smooth sailing, even. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." All right, so what is Naomi saying? Naomi is beginning to leave Moab. She has not crossed the river. The two daughters-in-law are following her partway to Israel, but they haven't crossed the river. They have not committed. And so as they're partway across the river, Naomi is discouraging the two girls from following her. And she is offering the girls three ways that don't save. And she says, you need to return to your mother's house. And you need to trust in your family. Don't trust in me, Naomi says. But will you trust? So you see that? Go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Do you think if one of the girls goes back home to Moab, she is going to get to know the God of Israel? No, she's not. But that's what Naomi is offering. Well, go back to your family. And then will Naomi and Orpah trust in marriage? All right, for their rescue. In other words, she is now offering them, you need to get married. You need to go back home to your parents. Now she's saying, you need to get married. You need to get a husband. And will they trust the will of the flesh, the hope of physically getting a husband? May the Lord grant that you find rest each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. So both girls cried. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." So both girls right now are saying, "We're going to cross the river with you." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husband? By my strength, by my flesh, am I going to provide for you your rescue?" And the girls have to make a decision. And then, will Naomi and Orpah trust in Naomi, the will of man, for their rescue? "Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband." If they're trusting in Naomi to give them something, they're not going to get it. "If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying?" So she offers these girls three outs, and every time she says, "Go home, go back to Moab, go back to Moab." This doesn't sound like, you know, giving someone the spiritual laws and begging them to come to Christ. It's saying, look, you go back where you're comfortable. Go trust the things that you used to trust. And so, what are the girls' decision going to be? Are they going to trust in the things that don't save? And so, this is Naomi speaking again. And Orpah is going to make a choice about Orpah's rescue. "No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. I've never heard men crying like a bunch of girls. But when you get women together, they can really cry. So you can picture all three of these women crying. And then they're talking. And then they break out crying again. This is a very sad goodbye. And there's no man here to say, "Hurry up." And so they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Now that's all the Bible says. She kissed her mother-in-law. But she kissed her goodbye. She said goodbye with a kiss. So Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. So there's Orpah walking back to Moab. And Naomi saying goodbye to Orpah. Orpah kissed her goodbye. And what did Orpah return to? She returned to her family. She returned to her gods. She returned to the hope of a marriage with someone from her family. She went back to the things that don't save. She did not trust the Lord for a salvation that God would offer. So he said, I love this verse. Then she said, this is Naomi said, behold your sister-in-law, so she's talking to Ruth now, has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. And that's the last time Naomi says to Ruth, go back. Because Naomi is going to choose the God of Israel. What a wonderful picture. Orpah chose her own blood family for rescue. Orpah chose the will of the flesh. That's the hope of marriage for her rescue. Orpah chose her false gods for her rescue. And Orpah's choice, think of what the result of Orpah's choice was. Orpah's choice separated her from Naomi forever, Ruth forever, and God forever. And I hope we understand. Put this today. Your choice on receiving the Lord Jesus is a forever choice. Just like her choice was a forever choice. I don't know if they ever saw each other again. I'm guessing they did not. But it was a forever choice. When you receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, it's a forever choice. But if you say, no, I am going to take the way that seems right. I'm going to trust my Christian family. I'm going to think I can do enough good works that I can make it to heaven. I'm going to trust my own flesh, my own strength and nature. That's an eternal choice right there. And like Orpah, today you could be walking away forever separated from the God who loves you. A forever choice. So it is very sobering. They're separated forever. Now what about Ruth? What did Ruth choose for her rescue? So we had Orpah, daughter-in-law number one, Ruth, daughter-in-law number two. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, she's going to Israel. I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. She'll be lodging in Bethlehem that day. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. She's saying, I'm changing families. For us, we would say, I'm leaving the Adam family, and I am entering the Christ family where no one dies. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all are made alive. She's choosing a new family. She's choosing a new God. And for her, this is not just crossing the river like we cross the Mississippi. This is making a life and death decision. Her sister-in-law Orpah was not brave enough to make that decision. And she was separated forever from her family and from the God who loved her. But Ruth is brave enough to enter in the unknown and trust a God she does not know and go to a place she's never been. And by that faith, God is going to reward her. So where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried.
And thus may the Lord do to me and worse if anything but death separates you and me. And she was also saying, your land is now my land. Your God is my God. Your land is my land. Your people are my people. So let's think of the decision. Orpah kissed, but Ruth clung. I like the word cling, but we don't use it unless you go to the grocery store and you buy cling wrap. You know the plastic that sticks, it's called cling wrap. And clung is the past tense of cling. And so it's to hug tightly. And so you get the idea. Orpah kissed, but there's Ruth. She is not letting go. You are not going anywhere without me. My salvation is in you, is what Ruth is saying here. And so Ruth chose the God of Israel. Ruth chose, think about this. She left citizenship in her country to enter a country where she probably would not get citizenship because she chose the God of that country. So Ruth chose to be an alien in bad English there, in God's land over being a citizen in Satan's land. What a choice. And for Ruth, she was not returning. Ruth was turning. Naomi was returning to what was hers. Ruth is turning to the unknown. So remember our chapter title, it's sin and turning. But there's returning for Naomi and there's turning for Ruth, who's a stranger over there. What was the result of Ruth's choice of faith? This is the rest of the chapter. I told you we were going to finish the chapter, and this is it. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. They're together. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? And they've been gone 10 years. She's got wrinkles now. She said to them, do not call me Naomi. By the way, Naomi's name means pleasant. So she's saying, don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. I left pleasant. I came back a bitter old woman. So do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt Mara, or bitterly, with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. You know, she is not thinking straight. Even though Naomi has the brains to confess her sin and go back to the place of obedience, her heart is still not right. She's obedient, but her heart is not right. She's not thinking right. Did she go away? Did she go to Moab full? She left because there was a famine. She went to Moab empty. And now she's coming back from Moab, and she doesn't even know it, but she is more than full. She just doesn't see it because her heart's not right with the Lord. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabite. Ruth doesn't have a heart problem. Ruth is the one who's smiling and dancing and happy. And the one she's going with, Naomi, is just sour. And he says, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Something good is about to happen. Ruth put her trust in the God of Israel, and Ruth was rescued. Ruth, the Gentile, was now accepted in Israel, in Naomi, the Jew. The Bible says, the first promise to Abraham, and in you, Abraham, the Jew, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And the Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, the Gentile woman, he said, you worship what you do not know. We, Jews, worship what we know, for salvation is from the what? Jews. How is that the case? Jesus is Jewish, isn't he? He's a Jewish Savior. And then Paul in the church says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It's another way of saying Gentile, also to the Gentile. So I would like to look at one more thing before we close this chapter. Naomi has a terrible heart problem, doesn't she? It reminds you of the last chapter of the book of Jonah, where Jonah is sitting under the tree and he has an attitude. And that's how the book of Jonah closes. Chapter 4, Jonah has heart problems. This book is just the opposite. This book begins with Naomi, the Jew, having heart problems. By the time we get to chapter 4, God is going to work out Naomi's heart. So Naomi had temporary heart problems. And God blessed Ruth the Gentile through Naomi the Jew. The New Testament tells us the same thing. Christ redeemed us, and Paul is saying, as a Jew, us Jews, from the curse of the law. Because the Jews were under the law. God brought Israel as a nation to the mountain of Sinai and gave them the Ten Commandments and gave them the whole law. And that was their national constitution. And so the Jewish people were under the law. Christ redeemed the Jewish people from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Jesus on the tree was making a payment for the curse of the law. You shall not steal. Jesus paid that penalty. It's all 613 rules he died for. It says, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Now you understand that verse. God paid for the Jewish salvation on the cross, so that the Gentiles could be blessed, because the promise of blessing to you as a Gentile today is only if God blesses the Jews first. In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And so that's really important, and it's underscored here by Paul in Galatians. Naomi was blind to her own blessing and future. Today, blind Israel has temporary heart problems. And this is good. But by their transgression, that's the Jewish transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. So as the Jewish people sit pouting underneath a tree and are mad about rejecting the Lord Jesus, it's become riches to us because they said no to the Lord Jesus. What is God offering to you? He's offering us a Savior that we might never have had. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Then he says, part of their rejection is we get saved. It makes Israel jealous. Now if their transgression is riches for the world, that's what happened. They said no to the Lord Jesus, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. It's riches. Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We got the riches of God because of their rejection. But what's going to happen when the Jewish people change their mind? And he says, now if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? Paul says it's a temporary heart problem that Naomi has. By chapter 4, she's going to see. It's a temporary rejection that Israel has of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a few short years, Israel's going to see. They're going to look up and they're going to see the one that they've pierced, and they're going to see the prints of the nails in his hands and the mark of the spear in his side, and they're going to mourn for their sin like someone mourns when they've lost their only son.
And they're going to see him return in the sky. And so today God promises to bring you to himself through Jesus Christ. So salvation for us is through this Jewish Savior. He says you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers, see all that, as separate, excluded, strangers, no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, where are you today? Are you in Christ Jesus? If you receive Jesus as Savior, it says, you have been brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Jesus' blood takes you from far away from God and no hope and brings you to God and a world, a heaven of hope. It says, for he himself, Jesus, is our peace who made both groups into one. And that's something new. And broke down the barrier of the dividing wall that he might reconcile means change your position. Them both into one body to God through the cross. What did the cross do? It brought you to God. And then, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens. Remember we said new citizenship? And the good part about the citizenship is you don't have to pass a 100-question test. Wow. You could come here today, not a citizen of heaven, and walk out that door, trust the Lord Jesus, and you've got instant citizenship in heaven. So, are you a Ruth or an Orpah? That's my closing question. Just think of the two women for a moment. Are you a Ruth or an Orpah? And here's what the people of Thessalonica did. They turned to God from idols. Would you turn to the living God and his Son today? If you are a child of God living in sin, return to God. If you are not a child of God, turn to God's love in the Lord Jesus. God is saying, will you have my Son to be your Savior? And that's your choice. Orpah made a choice, didn't she? And it's separation. You make a choice. Forever with the Lord. I'm going to close in prayer. We finished chapter 1. Congratulations. But take this home with you and think about it. And if you have questions, ask your questions, okay? I'm glad to answer your questions if I can.